Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Haley Orr in MUFG's Capital Markets Strategy Group. It's Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, Haley.
Great to be back.
Awesome to have you. So Haley, your team's latest publication is called New World Order. Super interesting. But tell our listeners a little bit about what that means. What are the major changes you see in the economy and markets today?
Sure. So the last time I was on the podcast, we talked about a publication we put out a couple months ago that was called The End of the Post-Cold War Era. And the concept there was that the post-Cold War era, which started in 1989 with the fall of the Berlin Wall, ended on February 24th, 2022 with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So we've done a lot of work in the past year, the past several months, especially on that shifting dynamic, what it means to leave the post-Cold War era. But this piece looks more broadly. We focus on Russia-Ukraine, but we also look broadly at the other changes we've seen in the market. We are transitioning from a period of 40 years of disinflationary forces to a period of persistently higher inflation. We are moving from a period where global economies, governments, and central banks were pumping liquidity into the system, over $40 trillion worth of liquidity pumped into the system. And now we are in a period where central banks are trying to withdraw that liquidity through quantitative tightening. We're also moving into what we view as the next structural commodity super cycle. And there's several reasons for that that we can get into on this podcast. But all of these changes are really important. They make for a complicated trading dynamic, but it's not all negative. There are plenty of silver linings out there, and I'm sure we'll get into a couple of those today as well.
Yep, sounds great. And to get right into it, your piece highlights 15 key themes. You know, we obviously don't have enough time to speak about all of them. So let's use our time to just focus on a few of the key ones, which you've already mentioned. First up, one of the biggest questions in the markets is obviously inflation. You know, it seems to be, you know, pervasive everywhere and top of mind for everyone, as well as top of everyone's pocketbook. How is your team looking at inflation today, as well as expectations going forward?
Sure. Inflation, I think, is one of the most important drivers of markets right now, because it's driving Fed policy as well. And not to get too cute with it, but the way we are looking at this dynamic is that we are moving from a period of COVID-driven inflation that we have been in for the last 2 years and into a period of conflict inflation. And that differentiation is really important. When you think about COVID inflation, and this was a shock to the system because we were leaving this period of 40 years of disinflation and moving into this period of COVID-related inflation. And that had to do with consumers who were stuck at home, by and large, who were not able to spend on services, on travel, on restaurants. And so they were at home purchasing durable goods. A lot of that type of inflation is more discretionary in nature. It's discretionary spending. And you know, the word transitory has sort of become the hot button no-no word in the market. But by definition, it is a bit more transitory, even if transitory lasts for 1 to 2 years. Because it is more durable goods spending, because it is more discretionary spending, COVID-driven inflation is less detrimental to growth. Where we have pivoted as a result of the war in Ukraine is to conflict-driven inflation. We are seeing food and energy prices increase. Those are not discretionary purchases. Those are purchases that everybody needs to make, and those purchases are getting more expensive. It is a supply-driven rather than demand-driven type of inflation. So inherently, it is less discretionary and it is more detrimental to growth. We are still in a transition period from COVID to conflict-driven inflation. And so we are still seeing some lingering impacts of COVID inflation. The shutdowns that we saw in China over the last several months because of COVID-related lockdowns very much played into an inflation dynamic. Looking ahead, we are going to be in this conflict-driven inflation period for a longer period of time. That doesn't mean inflation will stay at the levels that we are at today. We will come down from here. The Fed has made it their number one priority to tackle inflation, but there will be lingering effects, and it will be very challenging for the Fed to be able to tackle an inflation issue that is largely supply side driven. So this is going to be an issue that we're dealing with for months and even years to come.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you lay it out very, very clearly. I don't know if it's quite so obvious. So I like that sort of lens, if you will, to look at how inflation's, you know, changing. But regardless, with inflation high and growth slowing down, more and more market participants are talking about stagflation. How big of a risk is that scenario?
It's undeniable that the risk of stagflation has increased in the last few months. And I think that's why you've heard it spoken about so many times at recent conferences and by different market participants. Overall, though, our team does not subscribe to the view that we are already in a stagflationary environment, or even that it is, predetermined that we will enter into a stagflationary environment. Overall, economic growth, particularly in the U.S., is still solid, the U.S. more so than other markets. The U.S. consumer is still strong. We've seen consumer sentiment that has declined recently, but consumer spending and consumer balance sheets are still strong. Now, admittedly, there is a big differentiation amongst the consumer. The bottom 20% versus the top 80% are experiencing very different market dynamics right now and economic dynamics right now. The bottom 20%, which have experienced the most rapid wage growth, are also the part of the market that are most exposed to the inflationary dynamics that I mentioned previously. They are most exposed to higher housing costs, higher food costs, and higher energy costs. So I'm not saying that everything is rosy in the economy, but certainly there is still many parts of the economy, especially in the US, that are quite resilient and quite strong. So it is our base case that while growth is decelerating, it is more likely that we see growth in the US in the 1% to 2% area rather than in a full recessionary environment. Importantly, though, markets in a lot of ways are already pricing in a stagflationary environment. And that's in large part why you see commodities outperforming so many other markets right now. Commodities historically have been an excellent hedge against Fed tightening cycles. And you're seeing that outperformance continue to happen as markets sort of fear the stagflationary environment.
You know, that's a great segue to my next, comment. You mentioned earlier about the commodities supercycle. I sort of like how your team has phrased that. What's driving that exactly? And what should our listeners expect in the month ahead?
Sure. We've seen several commodity supercycles over the last few decades. And this next cycle that we are moving into is a combination of structural issues, but then also conflict-related issues. Number one, in terms of the move higher in energy prices right now, is the sanctions packages that we're seeing and the removal of Russian oil from the market. That instability and that question that it provides over supply for the market. We just saw the European Union agree to and release their sixth sanctions package against Russia over the invasion of Ukraine. A big part of that sanctions package was the European Union putting an embargo on seaborne oil coming from Russia. So that Russian oil coming out of the market or you know, not having the typical buyer in the market. So a big part of what we're seeing in commodity prices right now, particularly in oil and gas prices, has to do with Russia-Ukraine and the corresponding sanctions packages. However, there's a lot of other issues at play as well. Part of it is timing and seasonality. We are seeing these barrels of oil come offline at the same time that we are entering the peak travel season. The post-COVID travel revival is very much alive. And so you're seeing the demand side increase. You've also seen over the course of the last few years, so prior to COVID, prior to the conflict in Russia with in Ukraine from Russia, you had OPEC being extremely disciplined about controlling inventory to the market. So we have had a very tight supply market. ESG's acceleration, along with other structural factors, has led to underinvestment in new commodity fossil fuel energy projects. And you also naturally have a bit of greenflation. So there's a lot of different factors that are driving them. Some would have happened regardless of the Ukraine war. Some would have happened regardless of COVID and the now resurgence that we are seeing in activity. But what you're seeing right now is a confluence of all of these factors coming together. It is our view, and this is the work of Asan Kaman, who is MUFG's commodity analyst, that the most credible approach to price relief, price pressure relief in the commodity market is through demand destruction. And he expects that to happen around Q3 of this year when he forecasts Brent prices going up to the 140 region. So we still, unfortunately, can go higher from here. And that's when you'll probably see some demand destruction and you'll see the market respond accordingly.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like something that is interesting to see the time frame on that resolving that self. These commodity super cycles tend to be, you know, sort of slow moving events. So I suspect it'll it's going to take a while to work its way through. We've covered just a ton of ground on this episode, and I'd argue it all points to a challenging market and trading dynamic. But you also mentioned some silver linings earlier in the episode. What are the positives that you're seeing in the markets?
Sure. So first off, on the geopolitical side, let's not take away from the fact that the remarkable response of the West in terms of sanctions, in terms of unity, in terms of the coming together of NATO to condemn what was happening in Ukraine and Russia's actions. So from a geopolitical perspective, you're seeing much more unity in the West than we have seen over the past few years. That's a positive. From an economic perspective, I'm going to focus here on the U.S. The U.S. economy is much more insulated from a lot of these issues than some of our global counterparts. We have more ability for energy independence than some of our than other countries globally. We have less of a direct link to trade with Russia, both in commodities and in other products. So the U.S. economy, while it is being impacted by the current market condition, is more insulated than other economies globally. Beyond that, in the U.S., we still have remarkably strong fundamentals in the corporate credit markets. The strength of corporate balance sheets should not be discounted. Similarly, the strength of the consumer balance sheet should not be discounted at this point in time. Over the last two COVID summers, we have underestimated the resurgence in consumer activity. And it is very likely that we are underestimating the consumer once more. We are heading into our third COVID summer, so the third summer of recovering from COVID outbreaks over the course of the winter. And activity so far has been strong. So there are silver linings. Without a doubt, this is a challenging market dynamic, but certainly a lot of positives that we can point to as well.
I like it, leaving things on a positive note. That's always a good way to end things. And for more information, because there's a lot there, as I said earlier in the episode, you know, there are 15 key themes to the piece. It's extremely comprehensive. So I really would encourage our listeners to see the recently released and, as I said, very comprehensive publication entitled New World Order: 15 Defining Themes for the Global Economy and Markets in the Second Half of 2022. And again, if you are not receiving MUFG Capital Market Strategy publications directly, get in touch with Haley. Haley, great stuff as always. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.